everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag?
Oswald Chambers wrote, "We have to pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficulties." Heavenly Father, we bring another week to a close and have a growing awareness that the days we have left are getting shorter. We know that prayer helps us settle our souls, our minds, and bodies so that we can deal with the stress and pressures that are building. And so we ask help, O God, to keep our eyes on you and believe that difficulties can be solved by trusting in you. We also pray for Senator Ridgway and her family at the death of her brother, Darrell. Grant mercy, grant comfort, and grant healing at this time of their grief and pain. All this we ask in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keaveney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
A quorum is present. The Senate is now in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 41st.
Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
The motion, as many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. The Senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, it is my great pleasure to be able to introduce the doctor of the day, Steve Griffith, and his daughter Caroline is with him. Caroline is a student at Blue Springs South. If the body would make them feel welcome.
We're delighted to have the doctor of the day and his daughter with us. Let's welcome them. Senator from Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an introduction of special guests. Mr. President, on my right and your left, we have some American heroes with us this morning, and I would ask that each of them would stand as I mention their name. Hopefully I'll say these correctly. We start with Hugh Nisbet, who is the American Legion 9th District Judge Advocate. Then we've got Ray Raleigh, who is the American Legion 9th District Commander. We've got Robert White, who's the American Legion Post 297 Commander. Gary Keeney, who's the American Legion Post 297 Adjutant. Mike Pate, who is our military liaison for the 26th Senatorial District and a member of the American Legion. And Dan Turner, the American Legion Northern Zone Vice Commander. We've got a great group of American heroes with us this morning, and I would ask that the body make them feel very
welcome. Let's welcome these special guests from the American Legion. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Request unanimous consent to speak on a point of personal privilege.
Senator will be heard on a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. President. Appreciate Reverend Gout, including Darrell Ridgway, in his prayer this morning. I've always believed, and I know others here in this room feel, that we are part of a family here. And we lost a member of our extended family. And I just wanted to ask for a moment of silence for the senator from Clay's family's loss.
Let's have a moment of silence. Thank you. Keep her in your prayers. So, Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will give the order of business of third reading of Senate bills.
Third reading, Senate bills. Senator, let's see. Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 714, the Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 714 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for that Senate Bill 714 be read a third time and finally passed. 714 is the bill that we perfected earlier in the week that dealt with the recreational off-highway vehicles. It codified into statute the requirements to operate these vehicles, and if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer it. Otherwise, I would renew my motion.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the senator from Andrew is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
The senator renews his motion on third reading and final passage of the bill. Read the bill. Call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 714, an act relating to the use of recreational off-highway vehicles. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 10th, Senator from Polk, Senator from 24th, Senator from the 11th, Senator from Lawrence, Senator from Howell, Senator from Cape Girardeau, by your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no, the bill having won a constitutional majority is declared passed. Without objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 689, the Senator from St. Francois.
Mr. President, I move the Senate bill, the Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill number 689 be called from the calendar and taken up for third reading and final
passage. You've heard
passage.
The motion. As many as are the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator, just
thank
a
you,
minute. Man. The senator from Newton is seeking recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator. Just a second. We have a couple of guests from Newton County. Patty Kruger. I'm asking for unanimous consent for introduction. Thank you, Senator.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
We have a couple of guests from Newton County, Patty Kruger, the Circuit Clerk of the Court, and Amanda Johnson, the Deputy of the Court from Newton County. I wish the body make it feel
welcome. Welcome the guests for the Senator from Newton County to the Missouri Senate. Senator from St. Francois, make your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill number 689 be third read and put on its final passage. Mr. President, this is the bill that we heard a couple days ago, tightening up the laws against elderly and disabled abuse. It involves when you have a power of attorney using undue influence to move money and assets out of an estate. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I would renew my motion.
Any senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
The senator renews his motion on third reading and final passage. Read the bill. Call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 689, an act relating to crimes against certain types of vulnerable persons. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from the 8th. By your vote of 31 aye, 2 no, the bill having won a constitutional majority is declared passed. Without objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senate Bill 620, the senator from the 2nd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 620 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion shall prevail, say aye. Can I get an aye from the sponsor?
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to make the motion now that we place upon its final passage and read the third time Senate Bill 620 for the body's knowledge. This was the bill that we discussed earlier this week that deals with reinsurance companies that are based in Missouri that allows them to participate in international markets, and they can go after businesses or bundles of business that are life insurance contracts that have a very minuscule rider on them that might be a PNC contract, such as hole-in-one insurance or insuring your skis and things of that nature. I will gladly answer any questions. If not, I would renew my motion.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close, Mr. President.
The senator renews his motion on third reading. Read the bill. Call the roll.
Senate Bill 620, an act relating to life, health, and accident insurance. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from the 8th. By your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no, the bill having won a constitutional majority is declared passed. Without objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 2nd.
Then I would seek unanimous consent to introduce two very special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is my esteemed pleasure to have two of my kids here today. I have Scotty, a little redhead boy, is going to hopefully be made a page for the day, and Noel Roop will hopefully be made a page for the day to serve without compensation as well. They are going to be up here along with the rest of the family and a few cousins in a little bit. And, Mr. President, they are about later on today to go on a scavenger hunt around the Capitol. And several senators' offices have been delivered clues of which to help them learn more about the state capitol. So hopefully they will be figuring out these clues and stopping by your offices and learning more about the Capitol and meeting some of my colleagues. So if my colleagues would make Scotty and Noel feel welcome and make them pages for the day, I greatly appreciate it.
The young people shall be made pages for the day. Let's welcome these fine young people to the Missouri Senate. Excuse me. Senator from Cape.
Mr. President, I request unanimous consent to introduce special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. From our neck of the woods, here today with Nell Holcomb's seventh graders, we have got, with their teacher, Laura Sire, a group of students that got up early this morning to travel all the way up here, and we're going to take them around the Capitol today, both on the Senate and the House side, and I hope, Mr. President, you and the rest of the Senate can welcome our students from Southeast Missouri, Nell Holcomb, here today in the Capitol.
Thank you, Senator. I take special personal pride in welcoming this group, as my sister-in-law is the school nurse at Nell Holcomb. Will all the kids from in the group from Nell Holcomb please rise for a welcome by the Missouri Senate? We're delighted to have all our guests here today. Senate Bill 557, the senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 557 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 557 be read a third time and finally passed. And if you'll remember from yesterday, this is the rebuilder bill. It allows owners of certain rebuilt salvage vehicles that are over 10 years of age. They do not have to be brought back to the original showroom appearance. It allows some of these guys to rebuild these older trucks to be used as farm trucks without having to fix every dent around the bumpers. And any questions, I'll try to answer those.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
Senator renews his motion on third reading and final passage of the bill. Read the bill. Call the roll.
Senate Bill 557, an act relating to the vehicle examination process used for the issuance of prior salvage motor vehicle titles. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Lawson, Wright-Jones.
By your vote of 32 aye, 1 no, the bill having won a constitutional majority is declared passed. Without objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 663, Senator from St. Francis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 633 be called from the calendar and taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Now, Mr. President, I move that Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 633 be third read and put on its final passage. This is the scrap metal bill we went over yesterday. I'd be happy to go into the details. This is the agreement between the bankers, the scrap metal people, the car dealers, and everybody. 12 different groups have agreed how to dispose of vehicles that are to be scrapped. I'd be happy to go into complete details again if necessary. Otherwise, I would renew my motion.
Does any senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
Mr. President, I close.
The senator renews his motion on third reading and final passage. Read the bill. Call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 633, an act relating to scrap metal operators. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keaveney, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
By your vote of 33 ayes, 0 no, the bill, having won a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Without objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 767 et al. The Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 767 et al. Be brought before the body for third reading.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 767 et al. Be third read and passed. This is the bill dealing with license plates and highways. If you have questions, I will be happy to answer them, but we discussed it yesterday.
Does any senator wish to be heard on the motion? Senator from Stoddard.
To inquire the senator from Lawrence.
Senator from Lawrence, you yield.
I yield.
He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you. You say this is a bill that deals with, where are we at here, designating several highways and bridges and creates or modifies special license plates. Is that what this bill does?
Correct.
I was just curious. I know that I had a bill. I'm guessing that it's included in there. I've not asked you.
Which one is yours?
There's a young man named James Burnett.
He's in there.
That was killed in active duty in Afghanistan late last fall. And so I just want to make certain that was included. Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Boone.
Quiet, Senator from the 29th.
Senator from Lawrence, you yield.
I yield.
You yield. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I did hear the discussion on the bill the other day. On the naming of roads or bridges, is there anyone who is having something named after them who is still living?
Senator, I don't know.
And I understand that because I know that people put things on your bill, and I don't expect you to know that necessarily. But
the senator from Saline could probably answer that question. I had a naval cross that grew here, and I can tell you the names of people. I don't know if any of them are still living.
Okay, thank you. And I think my inquiry is probably best for the senator from Saline. Thank you. Mr. President, may I inquire of you?
I don't think so, Senator.
All right. Thank you, Senator. Thank you.
We're on a motion from the senator from Lawrence. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Lawrence has moved that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 767 et al. Be read a third time and finally passed. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 767 et al., an act relating to transportation. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keaveney, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer,
aye.
Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the first. You're not. Votes aye. Three no. The bill is declared passed. Having received a constitutional majority, let the journal show that the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Next up is SJR 48. It's still there. It will be placed on informal calendar. It holds its place on the formal calendar. Next up is Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 626. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 626 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
Heard the motion of the Senator from Cole. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Cole.
And Mr. President, I move that the Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill 626 a third time and finally pass. Mr. President, this is a bill we discussed a little bit yesterday that provides a defense for our manufacturers should their product be materially altered. It's more of a common sense bill that just helps people who get into manufacturing products and then people come and change things on it from the original design and then still expect the manufacturer to be liable. I'm happy to answer any questions about the bill.
Heard the motion of the Senator from Cole. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize to close.
I close.
Senator from Cole has moved that Senate Bill 626 be read a third time and put upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 626, an act relating to products liability. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Boone. Votes aye. Senator from the 13th. Votes aye. By your vote, 28 aye, 5 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. If there's no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senate Bill 667, Senator from Christian.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 667 be brought before the body for third reading and final passage.
Heard the motion of the Senator from Christian. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Christian.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 667 be third read and finally passed. We did this bill yesterday. It deals with peer review for architects and engineers. I'd be glad to answer any questions. If not, I renew my motion.
The Senator from Christian has moved that Senate Bill 667 be read a third time. And does any senator wish have any wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Christian has moved that Senate Bill 667 be read a third time and put upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate Bill 667, an act relating to a peer review process for licensed architects, landscape architects, land surveyors, and engineers. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviny, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer,
aye.
Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 8th. I said 8th. Oh, okay. Senator from Cape. Senator from Cape votes aye. Senator from Howe votes aye. Senator from the 11th votes no. By your vote, 30 aye, 1 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. If there's no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senate Bill 755, Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 755 with the Senate substitute to be taken up for third reading and final passage.
Heard the motion of the Senator from Stoddard. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the serving a house of worship situation where people who, with the intention and do so unreasonably, disturb a worship ceremony of whatever religion or denomination it might be, can be charged with a crime of disturbing a house of worship, and it would carry with it on the first offense a Class B misdemeanor it could be charged with and convicted of, second time a Class A misdemeanor, and the third time a felony. And so with that, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
Heard the motion from Stoddard. Anybody, any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 10th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
I would like to seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my right and your left, in from Kansas City today, we have Cub Scout Pack 118 from Kansas City. They came in on Amtrak last night, which makes me very happy. I know it will make you happy too, Mr. President. And with them today, they've got Steve Soden, who's a partner with the law firm where I practice, and of course his son Ben is with them, and I'd like to make them very welcome.
With the guests of the Senators in the 10th, please rise and the body make them feel welcome. Senator from Lewis, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Mr. President, I'd ask for unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Up here in the balcony behind us, I have the fourth grade students from Novinger school, and the chaperones are Donna Broadwell and Alice Gugerich, and they're down here visiting today. They're visiting the Capitol. I know they were over in the House a while ago, but I'd like the Senate to make them feel welcome at their Capitol.
With the guests of the Senator from Lewis, please rise, and the body make them feel very welcome. Senator from Cape.
Mr.
President, unanimous consent to introduce special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Right behind us, being seated right now, are a bunch of fourth graders that drove up from Oak Ridge, Missouri. They go to Oak Ridge Elementary School. We actually were able to visit this school after it was hit by a tornado that many of them may remember, and Governor Nixon was able to visit with the school and everyone there. Everyone is doing well. They've traveled all the way up to Jefferson City to be with us here today. We're also going to be able to host a pizza lunch for all of them. And I took a little survey, Mr. President, that the pizza that they all requested and that we've got 482 slices of is broccoli, pickle relish, and Reese's peanut butter cup pizza. So I know they're very, very excited about the broccoli, Reese's peanut butter cup, and pickle relish pizza. And I doubt there'll be any leftovers, but if anyone else in the Senate would like some, we will have that. So I hope you wish the fourth graders from Oak Ridge well as they eat lunch later on today after their tour of the Capitol, and hope that the Senate would welcome them here.
The guests of the Senate from Cape, please rise and in the body make them feel very welcome. We're on the motion of the Senator from Stoddard. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize the close.
Thank you, Mr. President. And why is it that I'm not surprised that the Senator from Cape Girardeau would order that kind of pizza? And by the way, that's left over from last night. No, with that, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
Senator from Stoddard moved that Senate Bill 755 be read a third time and put upon its final passage. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 755, an act relating to crimes involving institutions. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer,
aye.
Wasson, Wright-Jones,
Senator from Boone, votes no. Senator from the 15th, you're not. Votes aye. By your vote 24 aye, 9 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. If there is no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senate Bill 769, Senator from the 8th.
Mr. President, I move that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 769 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
Heard the motion of the Senator from the 8th. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 8th.
President, I now move it to. I move that Senate substitute for Senate Bill 769 be third read and finally passed. This is the bill that deals with safety markings on towers below 200 feet. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from the 8th. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Could I inquire briefly of the Senator from the 8th?
We need to get the Senate in order. Senator from the 8th, you yield.
I do.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Senator, I really don't have any interest in your bill, but it is your birthday today, is it not? It would be, yes. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. All right.
I like your tie.
I wanted to make sure that all our colleagues knew that it was a senator from the 8th, and, you know, we might throw him a bone and, you know, third read a bill for him today, or not, on his birthday. But anyway, happy birthday, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator.
We're on the motion of the senator from the 8th. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize to close.
I close.
Senator from the 8th has moved that Senate Bill 769 be read a third time and put it on its final passage. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senate substitute for Senate Bill 769, an act relating to anemometer towers. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer,
aye.
Lawson, Wright-Jones.
By your vote, 33 ayes, 0 no, the bill having achieved a constitutional majority is declared passed. If there is no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar.
Senate bills for perfection.
Senate Bill 621.
Senate Bill 621. Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I move Senate Bill 621 be called from the informal calendar and taken up for perfection.
Heard the motion of Senator from Phelps. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Phelps.
I think we were at, in the discussion last time, we had a Senate committee substitute that had been brought up, and we had a Senate substitute that was pending, and that Senate substitute has been distributed, and that was where we were at discussing the Senate substitute. So, what this bill does, it has to do with hospital licensure and some revisions and putting some, trying to increase the efficiency, eliminate some duplicity in the inspection process, and reduce cost to the state and the hospital for that matter. And there's different deeming agencies that can certify or accredit hospitals. We've got them, about three different agencies that are doing some inspections. We've got the Department of Health and Senior Services that are doing some inspections. And it was our goal and our hope to get these groups together, which they have, and agree on a standard that they're using and not be stumbling over one another and disrupting hospital what they do daily as far as surgeries and trying to take care of sick people. It seemed like that there was an over abundance of these inspections going on. This does not limit the inspections. They can go back anytime there is a complaint. They can go in anytime. They can do surprise inspections, anything they want to do, but we have asked for them to include some of the hospital people in the evaluation process so they can see where their deficiencies are. And it's not as onerous as a piece of legislation as it seems to be. And If there's any questions, I'll try to answer those.
Senator from Phelps has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute for Senate Bill 621. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Buchanan, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
You send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
Not. I would ask that.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Schaaf to amend Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 621, page 5, section 197.100, lines 22 through 28 of said page, by striking all of the opening brackets, all of the closing brackets, and all of the underlined language from said lines.
Senator, would you like to move for the adoption and explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the adoption. What the amendment does is it gets rid of the brackets and the language in bold. And the effect would be that the inspections that are done by the Joint Commission on the Accreditation of Healthcare Facilities would not automatically be used in place of the annual inspections required by the state of Missouri. The problem with this is that those inspections that are done by the Joint Commission don't measure up to the type of inspections that are done by the state of Missouri. And to allow that to last for every 3 years would to allow an inspection that was done 3 years ago to stand in place of an annual inspection would have the effect of reducing the number of inspections from annually to every 3 years. That's what it would do. I would be glad to answer questions, but at this time I would like to inquire of the senator from the first.
Senator from Buchanan has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment number 1. Senator from the first, do you yield? He yields. Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. You and I have talked about this bill and its effects, and you and I have both been champions of eliminating the Certificate of Need program. The reason I think that's important is because, as I see it, there are really only three ways to make sure that hospitals in Missouri do a good job. One of them is through regulation. One is through the tort system, which is pretty ineffective. And the other way is through free and open competition, which we don't have in the state of Missouri. And as I was discussing with you before, I'm more than willing to discuss with the hospital industry adopting some of these provisions. If they would adopt some of the provisions in our CON reform legislation, which would, by the way, fit right under here since it's hospital licensure. And at this point in time, they refuse to even negotiate, even a little bit. And I just cannot, you know, tolerate, in my own mind, taking away all this regulation that is designed to protect the citizens of Missouri without doing something to then protect them. And that would be through a better CON process so we could have more competition. What are your thoughts?
So have you talked to the Hospital Association and others about the ideas of modifying or making changes to the CON process?
I have offered it to their lobbyists, and in fact I was in the presence of the sponsor of the bill when we did that. And it was pretty much stated that anything CON is off the table, not subject to negotiation. And
I'm curious, is the Hospital Association in favor of this bill?
Oh, they want it because it completely takes the regulation off of them. Well, of course they want it.
I mean, you being a physician, are hospitals safe places to spend a lot of time?
You know, I have data, and I have quoted data that says that 90,000 people a year in the United States die of just infections. And it's actually it's stated that hospitals are the fourth leading cause of death in the United States, producing more than 100,000 preventable deaths while harming another 15 million patients every year. These deaths and injuries also cause more than $50 billion in unnecessary health care costs annually. I want to let them have elements of their bill, but they need to be able to replace that with some freedom of competition, which will increase the quality of care delivered. And I've been working at this for 10 years now. It's been blocked by the former senator from Buchanan, who was an employee of my local hospital, and right. now is an employee of Truman Hospital. He was in a position of power and was able to block all CON legislation. Now the hospitals are wanting this. It's outrageous. Yeah. The citizens of Missouri deserve better.
Yeah, normally, Senator, you and I would be in favor of a bill that would reduce regulation, right?
Generally, yes.
And generally, we would be. Now, I think you make a great point, though, with the three different areas that you covered as far as how we affect and protect our constituents, you know, in the area of health care and when they go to a hospital in the state of Missouri, those three areas that that you have articulated. And certainly, if we're talking about the cost factor and the people's money that are actually spent, right, in these institutions through Medicaid and Medicare, right?
Right.
I mean, and you're saying there's potential $50 million a year that's misspent?
With a B.
With a B?
Yeah, $50 billion are costs unnecessary
healthcare costs.
And 100,000 preventable deaths occur in hospitals. How many people listening on the internet or listening to this chamber know somebody who was injured in a hospital? I know many of them. And here we are reducing the regulation, and I've got 14 perverse ways. I'll be glad to discuss them with you again. But I think last time I was telling you a personal story that had occurred. Do you remember?
I don't. Why don't you read?
Yeah, I had begun telling a story when the bill was laid over about a particular patient of mine, which, by the way, the story explains why I am standing here today. If this particular incident had not occurred, I wouldn't be here, but for this incident. And I had a patient in the hospital. I'll try to summarize the beginning of the story again. I had a patient in the hospital, and this was a little old lady who had had shoulder surgery. And she was on the surgical step-down unit, which is one step below the ICU and one step above the regular floor. When you come out of surgery, that's where they put you. It's because you need to have intense watching right after surgery, the day of surgery. So basically what happened was they had given her a laxative, and it started to take effect. And she needed to go to the bathroom. And she had tubes and wires, catheter. And she pushed her call light, and nobody came. Nobody came. And she pushed it, and after, something like a half an hour or 40, she got so uncomfortable, she called her daughter. And her daughter then drove to the hospital, and at an hour, she kept pushing her call light. An hour, the daughter arrives and takes another 15 minutes to find a nurse on the floor. And I go in the next morning, and immediately the family just says, "What are you going to do about this?" And so I wrote an order on an order sheet, and it said, "Patient has a complaint about call light going unanswered for 75 minutes. Please investigate. I would appreciate a report." So I wrote the order. I talked to the nurses. You know, nothing was done at that point. I went to my office. And I got a phone call from the manager nurse, and she said, "Dr. Schaaf, this order that you wrote, it doesn't belong on the chart. We'd like to put it on a concern form," which, by the way, goes to risk management, and they bury it in the black hole of risk management. And I said, no, I don't believe that once I write an order, it has become part of the permanent record, it would be illegal to give you permission to remove my order from the chart. And besides, I mean, have you done anything about it? No, we're looking into it. Well, the problem was understaffing. They didn't have enough nurses. Well, anyway, the next day I went to the hospital, and the order sheet that I had written was physically removed from the chart. It wasn't on there, and there was a little sticky note that said to call the medical director. So I called the medical director, and I said, hey, you know, what's up? He says, I'm not going to allow that order to remain on the chart. Just, we can't be having that on the chart. That looks bad. I said, you're kidding me. You're going to take my order off the chart? Could you put that in writing that you're not going to allow me to keep my order on the chart? He says, sure, I'll put it in writing. I said, okay, thank you. Nothing ever came. That day, I went to my typewriter and I wrote a complete explanation of what happened and gave it to the chief of staff of the medical, you know, group, the doctors, the chief of staff of the hospital. I never got a response. Never. And so I was so furious that, by the way, nobody ever called me to tell me what happened, nor did I ever receive any acknowledgement, nor did my patient ever receive an apology for that. And she could have died. I mean, she could have. She could have had a heart arrhythmia, chest pain, anything. So I came up with a plan. I formulated a plan in my mind. I wanted to give the hospital plenty of opportunity to fix the problem. So what I did was I waited a little while, and I wrote a letter to the medical director again, and I said, you know, you told me that you would put in writing that you wouldn't allow me to keep the order on the chart. Please follow through and put that in writing. So I waited a month. I waited a month every time. I never got a response. So I wrote another letter to the medical director. I said, it's obvious that you're not going to put that in writing at this point. So at this time, I demand that you put the order back under the chart. And here, by the way, is the Code of Federal Regulations that says that you can't take that off. You have to put it back. So I waited another month. Guess what? Never heard anything back. And from time to time, I would go to the medical records room and check to see if it was on there. So then another month went by. And I wrote a letter to every member of the board of directors of the hospital. And I included copies of everything. And I said, dear board members, you have a problem. And I explained that they were in violation of the federal law, what happened, how wrong it was. And I said, please direct the medical director to put the order back onto the chart. Guess what? I never heard another word, didn't hear anything. So I waited another month. And each time I gave them opportunity to correct the problem. So then I wrote the final letter to the board of directors and I said, dear board of directors, it is now obvious that you do not intend to tell the medical director to put the order back onto the chart in violation of federal law. And since the Joint Commission is going to be inspecting you next month, I have asked for the Joint Commission to discuss this entire matter with them. I suggest that at this time you mitigate your damages and put the order back onto the chart. And so 1 week to the day later, I got a letter from the medical director that said, this date I have replaced the order to the chart. Once I threatened to go to Joint Commission. Well, at that point, I had already told them what I was going to do. And I had not heard any analysis of what had happened to my patient. So I went ahead and went to Joint Commission. And let me tell you what that was like. They gave me a time to go and talk to the investigator. And as I walked down the hall to that room, the administrators of the hospital, of which there are many, were lined up like a gauntlet, and I had to walk through them to get to the room. And I went in, and I had a nice little notebook with all the documentation. Every letter was in there, and I gave it to him. And as a result of that, the hospital lost its accreditation. And guess what? Like 3 months later, they got it back. And that's what happens every time. They just get it back. Well, after that incident, they lost their accreditation. They started treating me rather badly in the hospital. You can well imagine. I would go in and, they would be watching the security cameras to see when I came. And it became very difficult for me to practice in that environment because I was a whistleblower. I mean, but hey, all I was wanting to do was good care for my patients. And I have to tell you, that is just one out of 100 or more examples of bad quality that occurred. And so there would be things like I would order breathing treatments for my patients. Now, when you take a breathing treatment and you have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or asthma, the medication wears off after 4 hours. And so you have to give the breathing treatment every 4 hours. Else the patient's not going to get better. And the hospital would document when they gave it. Well, if I ordered it every 4 hours, how many treatments do you think you would expect your patient to get in one day?
Six.
Yeah. And if they let the patient sleep, then it would only be five. Well, so many times they would only give like two. And this is just one example. And so I would write a concern form, because remember they have these concern forms. I'd say, I'm concerned that my patient didn't receive it. And I would write those time after time after time, and then I would talk to the nursing staff, well, we just, can't do it. Or I would order antibiotics to be given every 8 hours IV, and they would miss doses. Patients would be getting MRSA. So I would call the state and say, this is outrageous. Here is a stack of 10 concern forms. Look at this and go investigate. And they would go investigate and do nothing about the problem. It just went on and on and on. And I got so frustrated, I just decided that I had to do something. And that's when I ended up running for office. And I was in the House for 8 years, and the first thing I did on my second year was I sponsored the Infection Control Act that caused them to put their infection rates on the Internet, which is, by the way, a form of competition. Because, the consumer can see two hospitals, here's the infection rate of Hospital A and Hospital B, they can vote with their feet and go to Hospital A or B, whichever one has the lowest rate of infection. And so, fast forward 10 years, and here I stand, and here we are taking away the regulation over these hospitals. I cannot believe it. It's incredible to me. Would you mind if I tell you another story about one of my own family?
Let me ask you a question first, Doctor.
Yeah, please.
One of the areas that you talk about is the ability to use the tort system,
right,
so that when people are injured or hurt or don't receive the treatment that they should receive in a hospital, that is one of their that's their recourse, right? I'd be curious if you've done any studies or looked at any studies that have actually calculated the added cost to healthcare for all of us because of that is your recourse if you are injured or receive bad care or whatever the case may be that causes other health problems. But I guess my question would be, if we take away these regulations and this oversight is that going to lead to more litigation?
Oh, I don't know. It very well could lead to more litigation, because you would expect that with less regulation, more bad things will happen, and then there will be more lawsuits.
Right.
But see, I've got to talk to you about the problem of the tort system. Think of the case that I just told you about the little old lady. She didn't have any major damage that would justify an attorney taking her case. And so she had what I like to call mini malpractice occur to her. And when mini malpractice occurs, she doesn't have any recourse. I mean, think about it. Your mother is lying there for 75 minutes suffering. And when the daughter came in, by the way, she was all stretched out trying to get to the bathroom, pooping on the floor. I mean, that was demeaning, painful. I cannot think of how bad that must have been for her, feeling the loneliness of having called for help and unable to find it when you're lying in the hospital. But yet, if she had gone to her attorney, they wouldn't have taken the case. It was, where is your damages?
Right.
You know, you don't have any damages that justify us spending thousands of dollars on transcriptionists and so on. And I mean, imagine a patient. I had this actually happen to me. Nurse walks into the pod, needs to give patient A 100 units of insulin. Turns left instead of right, goes in, shoots 100 units of insulin into this other patient, which happened to be my patient. The nurse calls me in the middle of the night. We just accidentally gave your patient 100 units of insulin. He's like hypoglycemic. What should we do? Well, what I would do is I'd start an IV, give her glucose, check her blood sugars every 5 minutes for a while. Let's get watching her. You know, do you know what it's like to have your blood sugar go down to like 30? It's very painful. Your body goes into a pretty severe shaking. I mean, insulin reaction. It's painful. It stunts your ability to think. Many people pass out. If it goes too low, you can die. 100 units of insulin. It's painful. So anyway, so they did that, and by the next day she had recovered, her sugar had come up, the insulin had worn off. But there was no damages. I mean, she didn't lose her job, have, you know, lose an arm, leg, eye, whatever.
Right.
She just suffered this severe problem. Well, she couldn't go to the lawyer and get some relief. No, it wasn't going to happen. And the problem was simply overstepping. Human error, it was a one mistake, but the tort system didn't help my patient. And the tort system does not solve the problem of forcing the hospital to do a better job. And the only thing that does that is either regulation or free and open competition, which is being stymied by the certificate of need process. And I have to tell you,
How many states, Senator, have a certificate of need?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
How many states have certificate of need, you know?
You know, I don't have that information off the top of my head, but I think it's less than half. The Federal Trade Commission and the Justice Department have issued a joint report saying that the CON tends to raise prices in the hospital. And it's just intuitive that it would. Of course it would. You take competitors out of the marketplace. You know, in my city, in St. Joseph, we have one hospital. And according to a report from the General Accounting Office, St. Joseph, Missouri has the fourth highest inpatient hospital costs in the nation for statistical metropolitan areas. We have this one big monopoly hospital system. They employ every doctor now. They've branched out. It's amazing. And this report is a little bit dated. But if you ask the insurance brokers, like our county commission went to bid out the insurance on their employees, and they found out that they couldn't get insurance nearly the rate that surrounding counties could. And, you know, I just, you know, if I could get a little CON relief for my district, even just for my city, you know, I'd be willing to sit down on this bill. That's all I'm asking for. And just, I'm willing to negotiate. But this eliminates what they are calling duplicative inspections. Well, what's duplicative? If there are two inspections, how do you know they're looking at the same exact things? This one says that they can only use specific written and publicly available standards. Well, what about the standards that aren't? This one says that the Missouri standards cannot contradict CMS's standards. Well, whatever happened to the sovereignty of our state? I mean, do we have to always do what the federal government says? This says that you can only look into allegations that are in the complaint. So if you see something else wrong in the hospital, they're not allowed to put that into their report. Well, what kind of a deal is that? That's horrible. I mean, you got your mother in the hospital, and the inspector comes in, and there's some other things, and they're just supposed to overlook them. If they decide to investigate, they must review the complaint with the hospital before they do their investigation. Whatever happened to surprise inspections? I mean, if your grandma is in there and something bad happens, don't you want them to do a surprise inspection and see it before the hospital has time to clean up its problem? And don't be thinking that they don't do it. I've seen it personally. They do. When they are become aware of a problem, they go out of their way to fix these things so that the regulators don't see them. And for 2 to 3 weeks before a joint commission inspection, everything changes in the hospital. I mean, they go by, they've even fixed the dings in the walls. Everybody starts doing things by the rules. And then the day after the inspection, well, it goes back to business as normal.
Hey, out of curiosity, Senator, I just noticed that we had a group of veterans join us in the chamber.
Okay, well, I think you should.
No, I'm just curious. How would this piece of legislation affect the veterans' hospitals?
I'm sure that it would affect them the same as all the other hospitals.
So they would not be exempt from taking these
regulations
away.
Well, if it's federally run, like the VA hospitals.
The VA hospitals, I'm talking about. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that.
That are in Missouri.
They may not come under the same federal law. I don't know. I mean, they may not be subject to state law since they're federal institutions. That's a good question. I don't know the answer.
I mean, wasn't there just recently, within the last year, some investigations into one of our veterans hospitals here in Missouri?
There have been multiple investigations over the years. I've seen very many things. I honestly don't know.
Two? One of our veterans over there is saying there were two. Dude. That were looked into, yeah.
I mean, our veterans deserve the finest medical care.
Exactly. Can you tell me about this handout that you have distributed to all the senators as far as the Missouri hospital inspections? What are you trying to cover here?
Which one?
This was prepared by the Department of Health and Senior Services, March 2012.
Basically, it just discusses the surveys that are currently
in law. Would this bill then take these do away with these? No.
Well, I mean,
the sponsor says no.
This is a summary that explains what would be before and after. You know, currently and proposed.
And proposed. I get it. Okay.
Yeah. See, what I would really like to have happen is let's negotiate with the hospitals and just simply try to get a little bit of certificate of need. Think that that's reasonable? I mean, that's all I really want.
I think it's reasonable.
Get a little CON reform.
Right, right. I mean, I think they should be willing to come to the table, and if they want relief from, you know, regulations that are in current law, then, again, I think that you've hit the nail right on the head. I mean, what makes any business better? A good competitor, right?
Absolutely. And that is correct.
It certainly makes great sense. And in this era when we're hurting for jobs, you know, the idea that we would keep somebody from opening a surgical center in your area or my area that would be deemed competition, you know, to the hospital, and that we have a system in place that stops that competition, that can't be good for the consumer. That can't be good for our constituents.
No, I mean, and I have a certificate of need reform bill that, you know, I think it was referred to a committee and it hasn't received a hearing, but it would do several items that would be each one intended to make the certificate of need process either fairer or less onerous. And this bill has about 14 provisions, and my bill probably has that many provisions. And why don't we just sit down and talk about it? Because if we're going to take away regulation, a little competition would compensate for that.
Right.
It just seems so logical to me that that is what we would want to be doing here. Another thing that this bill says is that it makes the annual inspection resources subject to appropriation. Well, heck! I mean, think about the political power going on in this room right now. I mean, all they have to do to cut back on their inspections is just don't appropriate enough money for them. They already are underfunded. What they're doing is they're allowing the political process to further their own, you know, freedom from regulation. And it allows the hospitals to actually go to the surveyor training. You know, that's kind of like asking the crooks to go to FBI school. You know, this is how you go into a hospital and detect that they're not doing a good job. This is what you do. You go and you look for A, B, C. So what they want is they want to be able to go to the school and learn how to look for A, B, C, D, and E. Then that way they can make sure A, B, C, D, and E are covered. You know, that's what they want. And not only that, but it allows them to go to surveyor-specific training. Now, the only thing that I can think that means is when they go and they train a surveyor on how to look at a hospital, you know, let's be going to Hospital X. They get to go to that. Hospital X gets to be there and see how they're planning to, you know, inspect Hospital X. What is that about? I mean, yeah. Let's put everything that we can dream of into this bill. You know who's at risk are the people of the state of Missouri. You know, and yes, I'm a Republican. I want less regulation. Let's do it. But I'm also a Republican who wants a free and open competitive marketplace. So let's be Republicans, get rid of some of the regulation, and get a little freedom in the marketplace. That's what Republicans do. And hopefully Democrats do it too.
That makes perfect sense.
It just makes such perfect sense. And I had a discussion with the senator from Phelps this morning about this bill, and I told him I'm passionate about this. This is my life. This is standing up for the best interests of my patients here and now. And that's what I'm doing. You know, this says that the hospital, the inspectors have to follow timelines. So this is the timeline. You know, we get the complaint. They have a few days to decide whether it's a written standard, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you lock them down to a timeline and they fall off of the timeline, they're not guilty. Just let's put that into the bill. Just make it a little bit harder for the regulators to regulate. This says that they have to accept the Joint Commission report. Well, I want to tell you a story that directly will make nauseated about the Joint Commission. You know, I, over the years, I've made complaints to Joint Commission, and nothing happened. And so, probably a few years ago, one of my family members went into the hospital with a pulmonary embolus in her lung. Another family member calling me up and saying, "Rob, this person is like suddenly started breathing fast." Well, when somebody just suddenly starts breathing fast, you know, you know what that usually is? Pulmonary embolus. It's pretty simple. I said, "Call an ambulance." So I was at work, you know, and later on I got a phone call. And it was from the same family member saying, "You know, the doctor really hasn't, they haven't done anything." So I called the emergency room. I said, "You know, I would appreciate it if they would see her immediately. I think she might have a pulmonary embolus." So they did. They saw her and determined that, yep, they did a scan thing where she had a pulmonary embolus. Now, do you know what the treatment for a pulmonary embolus is? It's a blood clot in your lung. Usually blood clot starts in your leg. You're sitting around a long time, even on an airplane to Europe or to Hawaii or somewhere. I've been requested if somebody could introduce guests. And so
certainly.
Let me pick this right back up.
Yeah, we're on an airplane to
Mr.
Europe.
Mr. President.
Yes, Senator, you will have the floor.
Yes,
sir. The chair, seeing no objection, would like to introduce some special guests to my left and your right, and if they would stand. We have some folks here with veterans, various veterans organizations today with MAVO, Donald Osborne, Forrest Albin, Lance McAllen, Randy Butt, Hewitt Donald, Lawrence Truman, Brian Lee, Sam Yancey, Alex Slocum, Gene Reed, Mel and Kathy Cox, David Mudd, Keith Chester, Sam Raber, and Taylor Elwell is up in the upper gallery. So if they would all stand and please be recognized, thank you for coming. Thanks for what you've done for America. We appreciate your being here. Thank you. Senator from the 34th, thank you.
I'd like to continue my inquiry with Senator from the 1st.
Senator, if it wasn't for the veterans and all that they have done for our nation and for the state of Missouri, you and I couldn't stand here on behalf of our constituents today.
So
we really
appreciate
you being here today.
Thank absolutely. You. I extremely appreciate their sacrifice. What I was describing for you was my family member who was in the hospital with a pulmonary embolus, a blood clot in her lung, which, by the way, they grow. The blood clots tend to continue to grow. And if they get big enough, you won't have any blood flow to your lung and you will die. The risk of death from a pulmonary embolism is a large percentage. They can kill you. And so the treatment is to give a blood thinner. The current standard is you give a shot of a medication called Lovenox. I mean, at least it was then. And it has to be given right away. Otherwise, it doesn't start working. And you have to give it every 12 hours or so. So basically what happened was they didn't give it. The doctor, who was my friend, ordered it, and it wasn't given for like 12 hours. 12 hours they put this family member of mine's life at risk for 12 long hours. And then they gave the shot, and then they didn't give another shot for like a day. Putting your life at risk again. And what you're supposed to do is you start giving pills of a medication called Coumadin, which is warfarin, or what is in rat poison. Rats bleed to death in their head because you give them 100 times what you would give to a person. And you have to get, it's very critical. You give just a little tiny bit. And then the person, once that's therapeutic, they can go home. Well, they didn't give my family member the Lovenox for 12 hours, and I was just, when I found out about it, I just could not believe that they did that to my family member. And so anyway, that evening, a day or two after she was in the hospital, I just
I mean, I went ballistic with the staff. And that a day or two later in the evening, there was a medical staff meeting, which I attended. And there happened to be a guy from Joint Commission who was brought in to talk to the medical staff. And he was a higher up, a muckety-muck, like, I don't know, one of the, like, deputy directors or whatever of the Joint Commission. He was flown in from, I think it was Atlanta or somewhere. So I took him aside and I said, you know, Joint Commission is just, it's just a farce. They don't fix the problems that occur. He goes, oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. And I said, he goes, well, they haven't for me. He says, well, if you ever have a problem, you call me and tell me about it. And I said, well, I just happen to have a problem that I would like you to look at. And he goes, oh, well, then send it to me. I said, I explained what had happened about my family member. And he goes, well, we'll look at that diligently. So I went home, and I wrote all of that up, and I took actually got copies of the chart showing that, you know, because they document when they give the Lovenox, and 12 hours had gone by after the doctor wrote the order, and then a whole day went by before the second dose, and I sent it to him. And then I would follow up from time to time. I got a letter back saying, oh, we've received your complaint, and we're going to follow up diligently, and blah, blah, blah. So then, oh, a few months went by, and I got the report back from Joint Commission. And guess what it said? We reviewed the hospital's practices and have determined that there was no cause for alarm and that nothing will be done as a result of our investigation. And so I called this guy up on the phone. I said, what? I mean, it's absolutely without a doubt that they failed to follow their own procedures and that they put my family member's life at risk in multiple ways. She could have died. This is what you would call a class one error. Class two. Class one is when the patient dies. Class two is when they could die. Okay, this is a class two. This one could shut the hospital down. I mean, those types of errors. And so I was informed that when Joint Commission investigates, they don't actually look at the record of the patient about whom the complaint is made. I said, did you look at my family member's chart? They said, no, we don't do that when we investigate. We don't look at the family member's chart. What we do is we assess the systems and how the care is delivered and to see if there's potential for mistakes. Can you believe that? They don't even look at the complaint, the patient's chart. So I happened to be in the House of Representatives at the time. I wrote a bill, and the bill said that when Joint Commission is relied upon to investigate a complaint, or when any outside entity is relied upon, and they don't actually look at the chart of the patient about whom the complaint was made, that the state of Missouri will come behind and actually look at the chart. Well, guess how far my bill got? Nowhere. Because the hospital industry is so powerful in this state that they were able, and apparently still are, to block any legislation intended to fix the problem. I mean, you know, just thinking about that raises my blood pressure. And yes, Senator, here, Senator, this bill, Senator, is going to make it so that the Joint Commission inspection will count for the state inspection. Can you imagine that? So if the Joint Commission goes in and inspects, and when they don't even look at the complaint, now all of a sudden they got an inspection on record, and as long as it's not 3 years old, it'll count, and we don't even have to go inspect the hospitals. Imagine. And this bill helps the state of Missouri. How?
This bill also gets rid of the requirement that a substitute inspection must be comparable to the department's inspection. So now, if the Joint Commission goes in and just looks at the systems, you know, they do an abbreviated inspection, that's good enough. You know, the state inspection is more comprehensive, but if the Joint Commission inspection isn't quite as comprehensive, it'll work from now on. How is that going to help the citizens of Missouri? And it gets rid of a requirement that a substitute inspection must show that the hospital meets licensure standards. Well, think about it. Right now, they go in and they inspect and they say, in order to be licensed in the state of Missouri, you have to do A, B, C, D, all the way to Z. So if the substitute inspection only looks to check for A, B, and C, it doesn't matter. It's a substitute inspection. We don't have to check to make sure that they're meeting all the requirements for licensure for all of the rest of them. That inspection will do under this bill. Are you outraged yet?
I'm getting there.
You're getting there? Well, let me tell you.
I'm going to ask you a question.
I'm outraged.
Can I ask you a question? So you spoke earlier of the different types of things that would a hospital would incur some type of penalty. I mean, you actually said that, you know, if somebody died for neglect or something like that. I mean, that it could actually close a hospital. I mean, are you
serious about that? Yeah, only thing is they have the power. They have the power to close the hospitals.
Right.
I'm not aware of any hospital that's ever been closed. But yet, 100,000 people die every year of hospital-related deaths. It's the fourth leading cause of death in America.
Well, I mean, a lot of people go to hospitals to, you know, to die, though. I mean, when you're saying because of their neglect of care, 100,000 people
die? Oh, it's 100,000. Oh, if you just take the number of people who die, I mean, if you're expected to die, you go in there because you had a car accident, you die.
Yeah.
But no. This is 100,000 preventable deaths.
Oh, all right. Okay.
People who, you know, wouldn't have to die except for the negligence that they receive.
So within the system and the structure right now, Senator, how, I mean, if you are cited for, you know, neglect or, you know, where you didn't carry out the procedures the way that the current law or rule, I mean, is it a you get a slap on the wrist? Do you get a fine?
Oh, here's what happens with Joint Commission.
Kind of explain that, how that works.
Yeah, what they do is they go in. Well, see, they know that these hospitals are large employers and economic engines of the cities and towns where they're located.
Right.
And, my gosh, I mean, you don't want to shut down a hospital that is so important to a community. So what they go in and they go, well, you know, it looks like this bad thing happened. Are you going to change your processes? Tell us how you're going to change your processes to make this not happen. And the hospital drafts up a report, you know, on how they're really going to do it and turns it in. And the regulators go, well, that looks like that ought to work. Well, they go back and they inspect in 3 months or something. And then they go in and say, oh, it looks like they cleaned that up. You know, the severe bacteria that were on the crash cart looks like you've kind of cleaned up that grime on there. So, you know, or whatever. So now go ahead. We'll go ahead and give you your licensure. You're good to go. That's what they did with the lady I told you about first. They changed their processes, supposedly, so that whenever a doctor wrote an order that, you know, they wouldn't take it off the chart. They kind of promised never to do that again.
So within the current structure, there are not fines or penalties that are incurred?
Not aware of fines or penalties. I mean, normally it's just the threat of having your licensure and not getting your accreditation, because then they can't put up on the billboard that they're accredited by Joint Commission. You know, they want to be able to do that. You got to have that up there. And then they have all of these, what I call, laughable
laughable report awards that they get, like the top 100 hospitals, you know, the, you know, all of these health grades awards. During the time that this happened with me, with regard to those two incidents that I told you, the hospital that I'm talking about got reported as a top 100 hospital in America, you know, which is, I think they probably had to pay a huge application fee for the, you know, how that works.
Sure.
And then they
had
that all over the board. They even have little flag things that, you know how those little flag things, like about like that, that bolt onto the light poles in the city? Top 100 hospital, like pole after pole after pole after pole. They somehow or another got the city to put that up. It was amazing. And I would be driving along wanting to vomit every time I saw it. Let me tell you.
So the stick is you could lose your accreditation. That's
oh, yeah, they could theoretically you could use it, lose it. But I mean, they'll give it right back to you.
And what this bill would accomplish is to lessen the regulation on our hospitals in the state. Is that correct?
I've discussed multiple ways, 14 ways, unacceptable ways. And you know something? There are some of those things, I think, like eliminating duplicative regulation and duplicative inspections. I mean, I'll go there. Yeah, I mean, let's look at each one of these. And at the same time, let's talk about some ways that we can make the certificate of need process more fair. Talk to the senator from Polk about the CON committee. It's a political committee that is designed to protect the competitors. I mean, even the Federal Trade Commission says that it raises health care costs. If we want to do something economically to drive our economy in the state of Missouri, think about the number of hospitals that are being built across the state line in Kansas, Oklahoma, Illinois, because of the fact that we have CON in Missouri. Go to the Certificate of Need Committee's website, and it says that $1.2 billion of unnecessary construction has been blocked by the CON. Aren't we proud? $1.2 billion that, you know, we could have had $1.2 billion infusion of construction and all those jobs in Missouri, but no. We got to have the CON to protect our hospitals. And now the hospitals are going around lobbying our legislators to eliminate needed regulation over them. I mean, let me tell you, as a physician on the front line, you would be appalled. And that is why I'm standing here. And I will continue to stand.
You know, I was thinking of, the way we, as a state, regulate different industries. And I was thinking of the gaming industry, which has the Gaming Commission that has the oversight on them. You know, if somebody that is not of age, under 21, you know, gets into one of those casinos, there are heavy fines levied, heavy fines. If somebody that's on the voluntary list, not to be in that casino, and they're caught in the casino, again, they're subject to fines. I mean, it seems it's interesting to me that in our the regulation of our hospitals in the state, that when they're found to be negligent in something, there's not a system in place where they would be fined. I don't get that.
I have to tell
there's
you,
there's got to be a stick.
I want to make sure that you know that I cannot represent to you that there are not some fines available. I've just never seen it happen.
Okay.
It may be possible that they could be fined.
And I might find out after making this statement on the Senate floor. I'm sure that if there are, they'll let me know.
Right.
Right.
I mean.
Senator. Three senators on the floor. Senator from Phelps.
Would you lay that on the informal calendar?
It will be laid on the informal calendar. Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
I inquire the senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone.
Or no, I'm sorry, the senator from Buchanan.
Senator from Buchanan, do you yield?
Yes, I yield.
You yield, Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, I'm not going to belabor this. There was one issue. I heard you speak that you have practiced in this health care field for years, and you seemed in the tone of your voice that you get frustrated at times of having so much experience in that field. Nobody really wants to listen to the experiences you have had. Did I kind of grasp that?
I'm sorry, Senator, that I...
No, your passion is good on the floor.
I get passionate and...
But you're passionate because you get frustrated because you work in a field and you have experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Senator, I just want to let you know I feel your pain because I have issues I get up on this floor of experiences in the fields I know firsthand and can't get people to listen either. I want to let you know I feel your pain.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator for the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to let members who are in their offices know, we're going to go to the reports of standing committees. So, Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
We're on the order of business of reports of standing committees.
How you, Bill? You need your water? The Senate is on the order of business of reports of standing committees. Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think I can turn these in.
That is what you're doing.
Your committee has a report. Thank you, Mr. President.
I know it's a new experience, Senator, but please send that report forward. Thank you. And when it arrives at the dais, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Veterans Affairs, Emerging Issues, Pension, and Urban Affairs, to which was referred Senate Bill 625, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Also, Senate Bill 715 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Crowell, Chairman.
The chair is the senator from Stoddard, has a report from the Gubernatorial Appointments Committee, and I will send that report forward and ask that the secretary please read that report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments, to which was referred Senate Bill 516, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Mayer, Chairman.
Senator from St. Francois. Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, when that report arrives from our able doorman, would you please read the report?
Mr. President, your Committee on Financial and Governmental Organizations and Elections, to which was referred Senate Bill 795, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Engler, Chairman.
Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please bring that report forward. Madam Secretary, read that report, please.
There are three here. Mr. President, your Committee on Transportation, to which was referred Senate Bill 665, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 656 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Also, Senate Bill 504 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Stouffer, Chairman.
Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on the Judiciary has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Looks like you've been a busy committee. Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Judiciary, Civil, and Criminal Jurisprudence, to which was referred Senate Bill 489 and 637, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Senate Bill 636 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 683 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Senate Bill 789 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Senate Joint Resolution 40 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully, Senator Goodman, Chairman.
Senator from the 2nd. Senator from the 2nd District of St. Charles County, who is recognized as the senior citizen from St. Charles, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. President.
It is my esteemed honor, Mr. President. You bestowed on me a responsibility to be a chairman of a committee. I took that responsibility very, very personally. We worked dutifully hard, the Small Business on Insurance and Industry Committee. We toiled, we listened to your suggestions, and we decided to send forth a bill for your consideration. I'm going to hand it off to my good friend, a great American. He's going to dutifully send it up. I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Senator. I think your report has one bill, so please send that forward.
Mr. President, your Committee on Small Business, Insurance, and Industry, to which was referred Senate Bill 565, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Respectfully, Senator Roop, Chairman.
Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a report, sending it forward.
Senator, please send that report forward.
I am, Mr. President. And once again, before I leave for the week, I just want to wish the Secretary of the Senate a happy birthday.
Thank you, Senator. I'm sure she appreciates that. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Commerce, Consumer Protection, Energy, and the Environment, to which was referred Senate Bill 645, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Lager, Chairman.
Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Committee on General Laws has.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on General Laws, to which was referred Senate Bill 806, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Senate Joint Resolution 39 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the joint resolution do pass. Also, Senate Bill 671 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute hereto attached do pass. Also, Senate Bill 811 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully, Senator Cunningham, Chairman.
Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your hardworking Committee on Education has a report, and I am so honored that we have some veterans from Cass County here to see this process, and they are Chuck Ledford, David Hoffa, John Friel, and Dwayne Lewis, and I know that they would love to stand and be recognized.
Senator, before we do that, could I inquire of you?
Yes.
Senator, would you, actually it's not an inquiry, would you make a motion that the Senate...
Seeing no objection, I'd like to introduce those folks.
And ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you.
Seeing no objection, you may proceed.
Thank you. We've got some great veterans here from Cass County, and glad that they could be here to participate in the program today.
Let's welcome the guest of the Senator from Johnson to the Missouri Senate today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I might add, we appreciate your service to our nation. Senator, do you have a report? Okay, thank you, Senator. Madam Secretary, would you please read the report?
Mr. President, your Committee on Education, to which was referred Senate Bill 599, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 482 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Bill 595 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Pierce, Chairman.
Senator from the first.
Mr. President.
Senator the second, the senator from the first is recognized, and when we finish with that, we'll recognize you. Senator from the first.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Governmental Accountability, that is full of senators that follow the rules of the Senate, has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward, and thank you for the editorial. Madam Secretary, when it arrives at the dais, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Governmental Accountability, to which was referred Senate Bill 877, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Also, Senate Joint Resolution 25 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the joint resolution do pass. Respectfully, Senator Lemke, Chairman.
Senator from St. Charles, 1st District, were you seeking recognition?
Yes, Mr. President, I was seeking recognition.
State the reason?
I actually was going to seek unanimous consent to introduce some very special guests.
Seeing no objection, you may proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. If you were to notice on my left and your right, a very lovely lady with some young kids in tow came in. Would like the body to welcome my wife, Carissa. We also have Haley Mattern, Emily Mattern, and Christian Mattern. My stepkids are here, along with their cousins, Alex Schaefer, Ethan Schaefer, and Madison Schaefer. I would ask that they all be made pages today to serve without compensation or compensation from the senator from Stoddard, and if the body would make them feel welcome.
That shall be so ordered, and let's, as a Senate body, welcome the wife of the senator from the first, Carissa, and the children she's brought to the Capitol. And Mrs. Roop, it's always good to see you here in the Senate chamber. Senator from the first.
May I also...
Pardon?
May I inquire
Senator from the second.
Yes. May I inquire of you?
You may, Senator.
Thank you. I noticed when the senator from Johnson sent forth this committee report, there seemed to be something else besides the committee report there, but I didn't, it wasn't recognized. I didn't know what that was, if that is a new rule or procedure we should be following here in the Senate.
Well, it has always been in place that when we're on a particular order of business and you want to move to a different type of business, that you ask for unanimous consent of the body to do that.
Okay.
I did not in any way want to be prejudicial towards you, or I think that's a standing rule here in the Senate.
Standing rule. Can we ask the Secretary of Senate if her favorite president is Andrew Jackson?
Senator, we can do that outside the chamber.
Great, thank you, Mr. President.
Proceedings of the Senate. The senator from Cape Girardeau is seeking recognition. Senator?
Yes, Mr. President, thank you. I seek unanimous consent. I think we had some miscommunications that I apologize between our offices, and I would request unanimous consent to send back the conference committee reports on Senate Bill 625 and Senate Bill 715.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Cape Girardeau seeking to have two bills sent back to his committee. He's seeking unanimous consent. Seeing no objection from the body, Senator, it shall be so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a report.
Please send it forward, Senator. When it arrives at the dais, Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government, to which was referred Senate Bill 588 and 585, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Also, Senate Bill 692 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Also, Senate Bill 729 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Also, Senate Bill 584 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Schmidt, Chairman.
Senator from Lewis.
Yes, Mr. President. Your Committee on Agriculture, Food Production, and Outdoor Resources have been working very hard in committee, not in the field, but I'd like to remind everybody as they enjoy their very nutritious, plentiful, bountiful, and safe food over the weekend that it is agriculture that provides that for them. And we do have a report to send forward.
Okay, thank you, Senator. Please send that report forward from the committee that deals with the state's number one industry. And when that report arrives, Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Agricultural Food Production and Outdoor Resources, to which was referred Senate Bill 566, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Also, Senate Bill 631 begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Munslinger, Chairman.
Senator for the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you see if there are messages from the House? If there are, would you please have those read?
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read the messages from the House.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1326, an act relating to business premise safety. Also, House Committee substitute for House Bill 1324, an act relating to the right to raise domesticated animals. Also, House Bill 1191, an act relating to state parks. Also, House Committee substitute for House Bill 1300, an act relating to motor vehicle valuations. Also, House Committee substitute for House Bill 1400, an act relating to financial transactions. Also, House Committee substitute for House Bill 1644, an act relating to the licensing period for certain licenses issued by the Missouri Gaming Commission, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from the 23rd. Senator from the 23rd. Senator. Hi, Senator.
Just lobbying the pro tem, Mr. President. Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on second reading.
We're on the order of business of House bills on second read. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Committee substitute for House Bill 1525.
House Committee substitute for House Bill 1525, an act relating to criminal offenders under the supervision of the Department of Corrections.
Judiciary, House Committee substitute number 2 for House Bill 1317.
House Committee substitute number 2 for House Bill 1317, an act relating to child injuries caused by abusive head trauma.
Judiciary, House Committee substitute for House Bill 1193.
House Committee substitute for House Bill 1193, an act relating to a prescription drug monitoring system.
Financial and governmental organizations. House Committee substitute for House Bill 1220.
House Committee substitute for House Bill 1220, an act relating to a pilot project for increasing children's access to incarcerated mothers.
Judiciary, House Bill 1029.
House Bill 1029, an act relating to the Oversight Subcommittee of the Committee on Legislative Research.
Commerce, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1123.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1123, an act relating to hospital licensure.
Financial and governmental organizations, House Bill 1513.
House Bill 1513, an act relating to animal rights.
Judiciary, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1659 and 1116.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1659 and 1116, an act relating to land tax collection.
Ways and Means, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1214.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1214, an act relating to resources for the development of business.
Small Business, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1212.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1212, an act relating to weight limitations for vehicles hauling livestock and agricultural products.
Agriculture, House Bill 1331.
House Bill 1331, an act relating to reciprocal transfer of credible service for state retirement systems.
Veterans Affairs and Emerging Issues, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1495.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1495, an act relating to the reporting of insurance fraud.
Small Business, House Bill 1621.
House Bill 1621, an act relating to discrimination against persons for the lawful carry of or use of firearms.
General Laws, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1576.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1576, an act relating to the purchase of state health insurance by certain foster parents.
Small Business and Insurance, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1258, 1259, and 1260.
House Committee Substitute for House Bills 1258, 1259, and 1260, an act relating to consent for adoption.
Health and Mental Health, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1340.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1340, an act relating to county officers.
Financial and Governmental Organizations, House Bill 1404.
House Bill 1404, an act relating to the designation of Missouri Pet Breeders Appreciation Month.
General Laws, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1108.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1108, an act relating to caller location information.
Commerce and Consumer Protection, House Bill 1236.
House Bill 1236, an act relating to third-party candidates.
Financial and Governmental Organizations, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1098 and 1084.
House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1098 and 1084, an act relating to the resale of donated goods for charitable purposes.
Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from the 23rd. Senator from Stoddard, I understand you have one more thing.
Mr. President, with the consent of both chairmen, would you please re-refer Senate Bill 838 from the Committee on Small Business, Insurance, and Industry to the Committee on Jobs, Economic Development, and Local Government?
It will be so referred.
Thank you.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
On the order of business of announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until 4 p.m. Monday, March 26th,
you've heard the motion of
2012.
23rd. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will be adjourned until Monday at 4 p.m., March 26th.